Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Father, we thank you so much for giving us the Psalms. And we pray as we look at this particular Psalm that you would use it, teach us about Christ, and teach us how to pray. And we pray these things in his precious name. Amen. Well, please do have Psalm 27 open in front of you there on page 557 of the Church Bibles. Now, one of those words that I hear these days is the word resilience. Resilience. I don't know if that's a word that you hear in your world. It's certainly a word that I hear in my world. One definition I pulled from the internet was this, and I think it's pretty good. Resilience is the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, and significant sources of stress, such as family relationship problems, serious health problems, or workplace and financial stresses. You see, to have resilience is to be able to adjust and to cope when things go wrong. Burnout, of course, is what happens when you give up, when you can no longer go on. Resilience, to be resilient, is to go on in the face of the difficulties, in the presence of the stresses. And we need, of course, to learn resilience. And the more I study them, particularly this first section of Psalms, the more I am persuaded that the Psalms are essential for us if we are to learn resilience in the Christian life. It is interesting that as a generation we have neglected the Psalms. Part of what I'm doing in preaching through and taking a long time over just trying to do the odd one occasionally is just to keep the Psalms on your agenda, to keep them before you. You may not find them easy to read. You may not find them easy to pray, but the 150 of them have been given to us by God that we might learn to pray, that we might be taught about Christ. You see, time and time again in the Psalms, we see David in deep trouble. And time again, he is faced by opposition or maybe he's actually made a mess of things. And we see him pray his way through trouble and pray his way out of trouble. These psalms are, of course, the psalms of David, but we know as well that they are the psalms of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are his psalms. As a man, he had to learn resilience. He faced tremendous difficulties, appalling opposition. For every one of these psalms, we can read this as his, the slander that he faced, that those wanting to kill him. He faced these difficulties. And he did not, though, did he, collapse in a heap and give up. He prayed his way through trouble and out of trouble. And he used these psalms as his prayers. They are his. The psalms teach us about Christ, and they also teach us how to be resilient in Christ. And this is a psalm to build resilience. And that, by the way, is an idea that has not simply come out of my head. I'm not importing ideas, I think, into the text. I'm not trying to give you a little pep talk to help you get through this week, although I hope this psalm will help you get through this week. Just look at verse 14, which is the great conclusion to the psalm, as I think the psalmist, having prayed and spoken, then speaks to those around him. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. That is the call to resilience, isn't it? To wait, to be strong, to keep going, to have courage in the face of difficulties. And I wonder whether tonight you need to build up your resilience. How well have you adapted to your difficulties and to your pressures? How well able do you feel able to pray your way through trouble and out of trouble? It may well be that you are one of those people who's a kind of 1 out of 10 when it comes to resilience. It may be that you are a person who buckles very easily under pressure. You may be a 7 or an 8 or a 9 out of 10. You are one of those stronger characters. But wherever you are, let's pray that God would use this psalm to move us to be stronger in ourselves through God's power, of course. And by the way, can I just encourage you to take these psalms and pray them? I was struck by Wednesday night, for those of you who are able to be here for the Elam presentation, and look at that Iranian church and the great growth of the church. And one of the things that struck me about those folk, those Christians, is they weren't just taught the Bible, were they? They're living the Bible. They are living the gospel. They are hanging on to God's word. They are believing it. We are not just to be people who are taught the words. We are to live the words, to pray it, for it to be in us, for us to be ruled by it, shaped by it. So take these psalms, use them. And it may be that you are joining as someone who is not following Christ. And I'm just delighted that you're here. It's great to have you here. And I just hope you will be amazed to see what we have in Christ. Why in him we can be strong. And I hope that as you listen in, that will actually draw you to wanting to know this Jesus Christ who we trust, love, and serve. So let's have a look at this psalm of resilience. And we're going to look at, I think there are 4 parts to it. Firstly, in verses 1 to 3, there is a declaration of confidence. This psalm starts with a declaration of confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he goes on then to verse 3 and say, even then I will be confident. Even when the worst things come up against me, I will be confident. This psalm, of course, starts with this amazing verse. The Lord is my light. In the Lord I have light. Darkness, of course, speaks of evil, of ignorance and danger. No one likes to be in the dark. It's a bad place to be. And in God's, in the great covenant God's, we have light, we have truth, we have goodness, we have knowledge, and as the rest of the verse says, we have salvation. The Lord is my light. Interestingly, it is the motto of which institution? I know a couple of you know the answer to that. Anyone know? It is the motto to Oxford University. They were meant to come up to the university, that great center of learning, with that emblazoned on their hearts. The Lord is my light. From him I receive knowledge. I suspect that it is a motto that is not too proudly boasted about these days. But there you go. A sense that in God we have light, we have knowledge, we have understanding, we have salvation, we have truth. He is our salvation. He is the stronghold of my life. In other words, and whom shall I be afraid? Because he is my light, because he is my salvation, I need not be afraid. I have his light and salvation. And one of the things that is great about the Psalms, and we see this in verses 2 and 3, is he could have just gone on to verse 4 and missed out 2 and 3. But he wants to, in very graphic pictures, drive this point home. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Isn't that such a powerful picture? The wicked advance against me to devour me. Literally, to devour my flesh. There are enemies who come against me, who want to consume me, destroy me, take my body, my soul, my mind, so I am reduced to nothing. Feed off me. It's very striking if you know your C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters. The reward for the devils, if I remember correctly, if they get someone to hell, is they're allowed to eat them. Almost picking up, I think, on this sort of language that my enemies want to devour me. Consume me, take everything from me. And David says, well, that's what they want to do. But it is they who will fall. I'm very confident of that. Though an army besiege me, again, he changes the picture, doesn't he, here? Imagine waking up one morning and imagining a massive army around you, tanks and the whole lot. And of course, that was what David experienced. Small armies were sent after him. Saul sent his armies. His son sent his army after him. Even if an army is there, David says, I will be confident. I need not be afraid. Because God is my salvation. Can you see this remarkable affirmation of God and his purposes and his safety that he offers? I will not be afraid, he says. This psalm starts with a great burst of confidence. In the second part of the psalm, we see the psalmist's longing. If we see confidence in the first three verses, in verses 4 to 6, we see the psalmist's longing. Let me read those verses to you again and just, what is it that he wants? What is it that this psalmist, that David yearns for? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. What does he want? What is the deepest longing of his heart? He wants, doesn't he, to be in God's presence. It's not just that he wants to be saved from enemies. He wants and yearns to be in God's presence forever. Think of the person or the people to whom you are most deeply attracted and in whose presence you like to spend your time. Who do you really, what is it about people that makes you want to be with them? Well, a number of things, aren't there? It can be beauty. It can be someone who is good to look at, who is pleasant, who is wise, who is loving, who is affectionate. Isn't that the sort of people we want to be with? The attractive, the wise, the kind, the holy, the good. In that sort of persons, you want to be. Those are the sort of people you want to be with, isn't it? The evil, the difficult. No, it's harder, isn't it? And you see, he wants to be with God, drawn to what? The verses tell us to a number of things. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Our God, the true and living God, is beautiful. Deeply attractive. Just worth pondering for a moment. What is the most beautiful thing in your mind in creation? It may be a person. It may be a sunset. It may be the flowers. It may be Mozart. All those things are beautiful, aren't they? There is beauty in our creation. Do you think the creator of beauty can be anything but beautiful himself? What sort of mind, what sort of person gives us roses, gives us Mozart, gives us sunsets, gives us mountains, gives us each other? A beautiful God. Perfect and beautiful in his relationships, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A beautiful love within the Trinity, which David has some sense of. He wants to be there as well to seek him and to seek his wisdom, because he knows that God is the wisest. You know, when you've got a good friend who really knows a lot, you just want to spend time with them and ask them questions, don't you? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? What do you make of this? I think that's what eternity is going to be like. The all-wise God seeking him and his wisdom and his counsel and being marveling at our beautiful, wise God. What else does he love and what else does he yearn about for that temple? It's a place of safety from the day of trouble. He will keep me in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. It's a place he yearns to be in, that place of total and utter security where his enemies cannot touch him. And in that place, verse 6 goes on to tell us, there'll be a lifting up of the head. There'll be an honoring of David, the anointed one. And then there'll be singing, music as well, and singing and joy, the verse tells us, there in the presence. That's what David wants. To be in God's presence forever. To gaze upon God in his beauty, to know his protection, to know his wisdom, to be joyful before him and relate to him forever. Can you see what this psalm is going? It's verse 1 to 3. It's all about the confidence that he has in God. Verses 4 to 6, it's the longing that he has to be in the presence of God, knowing what is there in God's presence. And thirdly, he cries out to God for mercy and protection. Verses 7 to 12. Having affirmed that confidence, having spoken about the one thing he seeks, he says, verse 7, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Now, the scholars from 100 years ago went into a flat spin when they began to analyze this psalm, because they went, hang on, this feels like two psalms cobbled together. You've got the first half of the psalm when you've got this amazing confidence, and now you've got David kind of praying like he's not sure if he's going to get there. And, you know, Lord, I'm looking forward to getting there, but I'm not sure I am going to get there. Lord, don't cast me away. Don't turn me away. And he goes on to pray all sorts of things, doesn't he? Teach me your ways, Lord, in verse 11. Lead me in a straight path. Verse 12, do not hand me over the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me. But hang on, David, you've just prayed with utter confidence that God will save you, and now you're praying, you're in trouble, and you're asking him to help you. David, which are you, anxious or confident? Well, of course, this takes us right to the heart of David's relationship with God and how his relationship with God works. Is this a psalm of confidence, or is this a psalm of lament and crying out? It's both. You see, who does he pray to in these verses? It is to the Lord. I think if you count it up, there's about 12 or 13 references to the Lord in this psalm. The Lord, of course, is the great covenant God. We know he is Christ. The covenant Lord makes promises. And David is basically saying, I am secure in you. Now come good on your promises. I am confident that you will save me. I look forward to that glorious salvation, to being in your presence. Now have mercy on me and save me. Come good, Lord, on all that you have promised. And don't you recognize that pattern from the rest of the Bible? Just come into the New Testament, we won't turn to it. But Paul will say to the Philippians, what? I am confident that he will complete the work that he has begun in you. He's completely confident. But what else does he do? He prays for them. He tells them to pray. He tells them to work. Confidence in God leads us to cry out to him to pray that he would deliver on that which he has promised to deliver. Which is why the Christian prays and prays with confidence. So can we see the shape of this psalm? David is confident in the Lord in verses 1 to 3. Secondly, David shares that his great desire is to be in God's presence all his days. That's what he longs for. And then third movement of the psalm is that David cries out to God for mercy and for help, confident that God will deliver him, verse 13, isn't it? He's absolutely confident that God, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Confidence, looking to the future, crying out, confident that God will deliver on his promises. And so having shared all that, what does David do, verse 14? He says to himself and he says to those around him, wait for the Lord, Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You see, God doesn't always answer quickly. Very often we have to endure. Very often there are difficulties. But David says we can be confident. Therefore, we take heart. Or in the translation, we have courage in our hearts. We are to let our hearts be strong. Confident in God. So what are we to make of this psalm? What are the implications and the applications for us? Well, as I've tried to do as we've gone through the Psalms, we just need to step back and just think about it for a moment. Because remember, we need to read the Psalms in three ways. We need to remember, firstly, that they are David's Psalms. Secondly, of course, we read them as Christ's Psalms. He is the Anointed One. He took these Psalms as his own prayers. And then only thirdly do they become our psalms in Christ. And if you are tired of hearing me say that, I'm delighted because it means you've heard me and remembering that I've said it. If you hadn't heard me say it, can you start tuning in and I'll say it about another 100 times as we go through. David's psalms, Christ's psalms, our psalms in Christ. And I know it's true because Spurgeon said it about this psalm as well. So I've had it from an authority, real authority on this. Let's just think about it for a moment about Christ's psalm. And I want to say to you, as we think about it as Christ's psalm, to say, let your heart be strong because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Let your heart be strong because of what Jesus Christ has done to you. You see, can you see this as Christ's psalm? Think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. Was he confident in his relationship with his father? Yeah, totally. Totally confident. Knowing all things that night that he was betrayed. Knowing where he was going. Knowing he's going to return to his father. Utterly confident. Did Jesus Christ long to be in his father's presence? Yes. Give me the glory that I had with before the time began. He longs to get back to his Father's presence for the joy set before him. He longs to get back there with the people he has redeemed. Yes, this is Christ's psalm. Did Christ cry out to his Father for help in the difficulties? Yes, yes, yes. Did he say, I know that I will be there in the land of the living? Yes. This is Christ's psalm. And what did he say to his disciples as he went to the cross to die for them? Isn't this language familiar? Wait. Be patient. Endure. Be strong. Have courage. I am going to save you and I will equip and empower you. This is Christ's psalm. And because he has been through this, he has prayed this, he has dealt with your sin on the cross, he has been raised again, dealing with sin and death, that means that he has won for you a fantastic victory and he calls you to wait for his return, to endure and to be strong and courageous. He says to you tonight, wait for the Lord, wait for my return. Be strong and take heart. Be confident. Serve me, even though it is difficult. Wait for me. I will be back. Secondly, just think for a moment how we are to pray like Jesus. We are to pray this. This is Christ's psalm, but it also becomes ours. And we are to pray like this. This is a model as well for our praying. It is right that we take these words onto our lips in Christ. Can we be confident of our relationship? Is he our life? Is he our light and salvation? Yes. Need we be afraid? No. Can anything separate you from the love of God? No. No, no, no. Nothing, no enemy. Read Romans 8 again. Can snatch you out of his hands. Even though an army encamps against you, you will not go to your death a day before it has been ordained by God, and he will take you to be with him. Do you yearn? Do we yearn to be home? Yes. Is it the one thing you seek above all? I hope so. To be home? Yes. Do we cry out, Lord, come good on your promises. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, you've made promises and I need you to come through on those promises to sustain me. Yes. Take this psalm and pray it with confidence, pouring out your longings to the Lord to be with him and looking for his help and strength in your difficulty. And the final area of application, I just want to remind you that God is beautiful. The beauty of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord's. And in many ways, the battle of the Christian life is that we are tempted away by lesser beauties. That we our hearts are captured in sinful ways by the creation. And that our hearts are satisfied too easily by the beauties of this world. To live for the sunset, to live for the people, to live for the flowers, to live for the Mozart, whatever it is. Our hearts are just totally taken up with those things. And we forget the beauty of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That David could say, the one thing, that is the one thing I want most, to gaze upon him, to be in relationship with him, to know his wisdom, love, and protection in our new heavens and the new earth. And if that is the one thing above all that we seek, knowing that that is the most beautiful and wonderful thing, that too will keep us safe, because we will not want anything to become between that, anything to disturb that. So my friends, take this psalm and pray it. Shall we read together now? Let's read it together. Join me at verse 1, Psalm 27. Of David, we say together and we say to our Lord, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked man advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We'll be utterly confident in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to sing Rock of Ages as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the one in whom we are safe. Rock of Ages. And we'll stand. For the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.